This morning, I've done like a vision and prayer thing. I think Rosie at one point called it a State of the Union address. So I'm going with that. So we are in our third term as a site. We're not quite at a year yet. That's in November, and we're going to have a party. But we are in our third term. And when we started, when we met in the Scout Hut, didn't we? And then we gathered here on the first week. And I said a couple of times what I'd heard someone else say at some point, which was that you can do less in a year than you think you can, but you can do more in 5 years than you think you can. And I think that was really good and helpful. And so our kind of aim, therefore, was just to make a good start as we gathered as a site. But actually, I think by the time we get to a year in 2 months' time, we can be pretty pleased with the first year. If you can do less in a year than you think you can, then I personally am actually going to be really pleased with the start that we've made. So we have learned how to run a pretty decent Sunday morning. And that, for the first term, was really the aim. Was like, what goes where? Who does this? I don't know. And so we've learned to do that. Lots of people stepping into different roles and making stuff happen. By the way, if you're not involved in serving in any way on a Sunday, then please get involved, because that's how it all happens, is we all muck in and make it happen together. We could really do with a couple of extra helpers on the kids' work rota regularly. I did it before summer as a helper. It's a piece of cake. Honestly, there's no planning. You turn up and you help and you have fun with the kids. It's really, really easy, and I'll happily do it again sometime. So we could do with that, and there might be some other places that we could help mucking in as well. But if you're not involved in serving, that's who we are. We're family. That's how we make it happen. So please do get involved. So we've learned how to run a good Sunday morning. We've had some good times of worship together at different times. Lots of people have stepped into new roles and tried new things and stepping out in faith, which has been great. We have run the best guest service that I've ever been a part of ever at Easter this year. It was brilliant. We built a sensory garden for the school. We have furthered our relationship with Gosford Park here, and we have begun the process of starting the TLG, Transforming Lives for Good, Early Intervention Scheme here. If you don't know about that, if you missed the Sunday when we talked about that, come and talk to me or talk to Rosie or talk to Julie and they can fill you in. But hopefully that will start before the end of this term. We'll have that kind of going in the school. So as a first year, if you can do less than you think in your first year, that's all right. That's pretty good, I think. And so now we come into this term, September 2022. It's an interesting time in the world, isn't it? I think this is a time where we all need to walk closely with God, individually and together. This is a time in what's going on in the world of walking very closely with Jesus. There's just a few things that I wanted to speak into, I suppose, as we think about where we've got to so far as a site and where we want to head towards, that I've been thinking about over the summer and praying about and that kind of thing. The first thing to say is I love Jubilee Church. Like, I really love it. You would think, well, yeah, you have to because you're an elder. Honestly, if you had met me on the first Sunday when I walked into Jubilee Church, this church, I'm so grateful to this church for being church, like it really, like church, not just turning up to a meeting, but being church together. I love this church, and I love this site. I love this site. I love being church with all of you. I am genuinely inspired in my faith by your walks with God. I love talking to you and hearing about your walks with God and journeys and faith, and this is difficult, but I'm trusting Jesus. It's brilliant. I love it, and I'm not just saying that. I really do. And those walks with God, for us individually, when we gather together on a Sunday morning, they're expressed in our times of worship, aren't they? And that's the first thing I just want to speak about briefly, is our times of gathered worship together when we come together on a Sunday morning. So if you've been part of Jubilee Church for any length of time, and most of you have been, then you will know that we hold some dear values in terms of gathered worship and how we do that together. The first one is that we believe a priesthood of all believers, right? So we're not just led by a couple of people who happen to stand at the front and hold a microphone. We together are the body of Christ, a priesthood of all believers, and so we lead one another. We also believe in and want to seek to practice spiritual gifts and believe that therefore everybody has something to bring. When we gather together, every single one of us, if you're a believer and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have something to bring, to contribute to one another so that we can build one another up and encounter Jesus together. Those are really high values that we hold as a church and always have done and always will do. We are a charismatic church. And my prayer continually is that that is not just a sentence on a website, but that is an experienced reality that we are a charismatic church. That means that the Holy Spirit is free to move amongst us however he wants to and lead us. We want the presence of God amongst us, don't we? Honestly, if it's not, I'm not coming. I love you all, but I'd rather stay at home, okay? I want the presence of God. We want the vibrant, life-giving, faith-filled, joy-filled, Jesus-glorifying presence of God amongst us every time we gather, don't we? That's what I want to come to every Sunday. That's what I want us to gather to every Sunday. That's what I want our dear children to experience every Sunday. That's what I want unbelievers to come into and experience and go, oh my days, God is in this place. Don't we want that? That's not a sentence on a website. That's very different. We want that, don't we? Now, there is, I think, a little bit of a, let's be real, challenge within that for this site. And that is that we have quite a high ratio of young kids amongst us and people looking out for young kids and all of that. Now, that's not me blaming it on kids or anything like that. We love our kids. We want our kids to be fully part of this church and go, that's my church. That's not just where my parents drag me every Sunday. That's where I, this is my home, my family. This is where I meet with God. I love our kids. I'm glad, you know, I hope you're glad that I said that. I love my kids. But it can be difficult, right? Because lots of us either have half an eye on worshipping Jesus and most of our eyes on where our kids are, okay? And for those of you who aren't looking out for young kids, they're still quite distracting, okay? I know that, all right? Because we honour and value being led by the Holy Spirit in our times of worship, what we're quite used to, I think, is spontaneity in worship, okay? So we rock up, we're kind of like, don't really, in the best moments, don't really know what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to lead us, all right? And we want that. That's good, okay? I'm not against that. But actually, spontaneity is not our value, okay? Being led by the Holy Spirit is our value, and everybody having something to bring and contribute is our value, okay? Spontaneity is fine, great, but actually, the reality is, for the 25 minutes that we gather to worship together with our children, for lots of us, if we just don't think about worship until that moment, the reality is it's really difficult to be attentive to the Holy Spirit. What might you say to me that I can bring to my brothers and sisters in those 25 minutes? If those are the only 25 minutes we think about it, the reality is, for lots of us, perhaps most of us, it's just not the easiest time to kind of go, lead me, God. What have you got for me to bring to my brothers and sisters that we might meet with Jesus together? And that's just the reality, all right? That's nothing good, bad, or indifferent about that. That's just how it is, okay? And so what I want us to ask is that if we together value being led by the Spirit and valuing the fact that we are a priesthood of all believers and we all have stuff to bring to contribute to one another and to glorify Jesus, is that if those 25 minutes are difficult for legitimate reasons, then let's think about it in advance, shall we? What we value is being led by the Spirit. And what the Spirit whispers to you on a Tuesday morning or a Thursday lunchtime or a Friday evening is still valid on Sunday morning. All right? So if these 25 minutes are difficult because it's like, well, I want to, but actually, you know, actually what we've all just got used to is spontaneity. And that's fine. But actually, the reality is spontaneity and really being attentive to the Spirit right now in the context that we're in is often difficult. So we've got a choice, haven't we? And we all want to choose what we want to choose, right? We want to choose being led by the Spirit. So can I ask you to seek God in the week? What might you say? Jesus, what are you going to do on Sunday morning? Pray about it. On a Thursday morning, on a Friday evening, on Wednesday lunchtime. God, what do you have for me to bring? What are you going to say to me? It could be all sorts of things. It could be the prophetic. It could be tongues. It could be interpretation. I don't even know what someone's going to say, but I feel like I've got something bubbling. It could be praying. It could be this scripture's really spoken to me. My friends, this is what we want. This is what we need, okay? To be contributed to by every single one of us, okay? Because we need to be shaped by one another, not just by four people. That's not the point. We're a priesthood of all believers, not a priesthood of four believers. Okay? So that's came out. That's good, wasn't it? thank you very much. Spontaneous, yeah. No, but seriously, we want to be led by each other. There is so much in each and every one of you. I need it. I need to hear from you. Lottie, I need to hear from you on a Sunday morning. Your faith, I'm going to pick lots of you out. Your faith, your gentleness, and your walk with Jesus, and your integrity, I'm going to be built up by that, and so is everyone else. So seek God. What might he say? Jake, your faith, your knowledge of Scripture, we need that. We need to hear from you. There's greatness in you, John Phipps. I don't need to say anything else. Sam Myers, where's your prophetic, man? We need your prophetic gift. Please get it firing. Please get it seeking God ahead of Sundays. We need it. Dave, you have one of the most potent prophetic gifts I've ever come across. Go for it. Fan into flame the gift that is within you. We need it in this site. And these people that live nearby need it. Julie, such integrity in your walk with God, such faith, such faithfulness. We need to hear it. Joanne, same for you. Sarah, creativity all over the place. We need that, all right? Becky, I don't hear you enough. I don't need to say anything about your walk with God. Please let it come out. Natalia, thank you so much for serving so regularly. Honestly, this site, we would have fallen over several times without you, okay? Let's hear even more from you. I'm not going to pick out everyone. Thomas, come on, Thomas. I caught your eye. Thomas, there's not many people more wise than you that I've encountered. Can we have some wisdom from you, please, regularly on a Sunday morning? I don't know, he's not here, but Joshua Shibote, I was praying for him this week. His gentleness and compassion, we need some of that. We need to be shaped by one another, don't we? Yeah? So, if those 25 minutes, these 25 minutes that we just did, all right, what we just did was pretty normal, wasn't it? We sang and a few people prayed. Oh, fine. Okay, but that's not actually what we're after. It's good, okay? But actually, I want us and our children and unbelievers to come in and go, whoa, the presence of God is here. How did that person, they were like speaking about my life. They don't even know me. That's what we want, isn't it? So can I ask that of you, dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, all right? You too, Joe. So much in you. Honestly, hearing you pray this morning in that room, faith. Please pray on a Sunday morning. Give us faith. Join with one another. Yeah, that's true. Come on. All right? So let's do it together, shall we? Great. Okay. That's the first thing I wanted to speak about. The next thing was just, you know, what the world's doing. We are entering into difficult times. As the world, you know, as a nation in everyone's life right now. And for many of us, probably really for the first time, not all of us, but for many of us, the first time where actually the world's difficulties are even affecting the middle classes. Oh, must really count now. Yeah. But it's true, isn't it? Like, it's difficult. And it's going to get difficult in October, in January. I'm only talking about one of the things, and you know which one, right? It's going to get difficult, isn't it? This is a moment for faith, isn't it? This is such an opportunity to grow in faith in our lives and together. Obviously, one of the big things that we're going to have to grow in faith in or choose not to is our finances. It's money, all right? Don't talk about money. Well, Jesus talked about it a lot. There's no taboo subjects in the church, I'm afraid. So this is a time where we can, if we choose to, grow in our faith for finances. And I don't just mean, how am I going to pay the bills? I'll talk more about that in a minute. But we rebudgeted this week. Me and Hannah sat down of an evening and we rebudgeted, okay, because we just had to strip everything out because of what's happening next month. All right? The first thing in our budget is our regular giving to church. That's untouchable. It's untouchable. That's just not even a question of, ooh, things are getting tight. Maybe we'll give a bit less. No, that's just completely untouchable for us. None of you, of course, but if I was listening to this, the cynical part of me would go, well, yeah, but you work for the church, right? Like, you're just giving back to who you got the money from, and like, you're just encouraging us to give so that you're not out of work. All right, let's just confess that together. Put that to one side and focus on Jesus together, okay? All right, because I'm not talking about this for, honestly, I hope you know this, I'm not talking about this for any other reason than I want us to grow in faith together. Like the Apostle Paul wrote, I think the Galatians, I am in the pangs of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. That's what this is about, right? And that's what this opportunity is for. So giving regularly and generously to the local church and to other places is not something that we afford, is it? It's not a bill to pay, it's a position of faith to adopt. And if when we hit more challenging times, we go, can't really afford that, then actually it was never faith in the first place. It was just something we could afford. That's not faith, right? This is a chance that we can grow in faith together. Think about the stories in the Bible. Think about the old woman at the temple. You know, could she afford to put her last two coins in? Of course not. It's all she had. But she gave. What about the lady and her son that Elijah met? And they were starving, and they just had this little bit of oil and flour left, and she gave everything she had. She couldn't afford it. She gave everything, and God provided for them. And we assume for the woman in the temple, we don't know. We don't know the end of that story, but we assume because Jesus picked her out for all time, God probably provided for her. Okay, but they gave all they had, and they were in a position of faith. Faith is required right now, isn't it? I'm not relying on Liz Truss's handouts, because they're probably not going to come because it's Liz Truss. I'm relying on my Father to provide for me. Yeah? This is a moment for that. The cost of living crisis, as it begins to hit and will get a lot worse in the coming months, this is a moment for the name of Jesus in the nations and in this nation and in this city and in Stoke. This is therefore a moment for the church that bears his name. See, a number of years ago, God spoke about what's going on now to our very own Mike Thorne, okay? In 2016, Mike felt God speak to him and say, I'm going to shake the nations. I'm going to shake every area that mankind puts his trust in. Isn't that what we're seeing? Health, war and peace, finances, drought, the climate, everything. Boom, 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 boom. And we're just starting. God said, I'm going to shake every area that man puts his trust in. Why? Not just for fun, but so that people would turn back to him. People would realize, oh my days, this is not worth putting my trust in. It's shaky, it's transient, it's good, it's nothing, no substance to it. Where can I put my trust? Do you know where? The rock. That is unshakable. But Mike also said, my people, I love that this was in this prophetic word, my people too are going to have to choose where they put their trust. So this is not just like, yeah, come on, world, wake up. It's like, no, come on. This is like honesty moment. Where is my trust? All right? As I look at my finances, as I look at what's going on elsewhere in the world, where is my trust? Do you know how you can tell? Are you at peace right now? Or are you anxious? Are you worrying? When you catch yourself worrying, what do? That's how you tell. Where is your trust? The parable of the sower is great, isn't it? We love that parable. We tell it a lot. It's in the kids' work all the time. Okay, three soils. First soil, yeah, Satan takes it away. Well, that's not us. We all like to believe we're the good soil, right? Because, you know, I've received Jesus and I'm Christian. I'm the good soil. Hey! Can you remember what the second soil is? The second soil is, that was the confused face I was assuming. The second soil is the seed takes root, begins to grow, and the cares of life grow up around it and make it unfruitful. Now, that's really key. Make it unfruitful. The sign of the good soil is that it's fruitful. It produces 30 and 60 and 100-fold. Okay, the seed takes root in the second soil, but the cares of life grow up around it and make it unfruitful. This is a moment for working out, which one am I? Okay, when life's easy, it's kind of easy to think we're the third soil. It's when life gets hard, when there's actual real cares of life going on in the world around us, that we go, now, am I actually the second soil? Are these cares of life going to just grow up around me? Doesn't mean I'm not a Christian. Doesn't mean I don't go to church. Doesn't mean I don't raise my hands in worship. Doesn't mean I go occasionally go to small group and pray sometimes. Okay, I do all those things. But actually, what's really going on up here and in my life is like I'm really nervous. I'm really worried. And that's just so consumed me that I'm not really very fruitful. That's the second soil, brothers and sisters. This is a moment for working out, okay? Now, if you've just heard that and gone, uh-oh, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Today, this morning, is a time where you can go, Jesus, thank you for your grace. That meets me where I am. Please cultivate good soil in my life. I'm a bit nervous, but I trust you. Let's go. That's all it takes. Okay. I was reading the news this week, you know, just BBC News, headline. It can be overwhelming. It really can. I don't know if some people have given up looking at the news. That's not wise. It's not wise because your bills are still going to go up. You just don't know about it. Okay. I was reading it, boom, 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 headline. And I just felt God whisper to me, remember, you're not a citizen of this world. You're a citizen of heaven. Okay, so I can now read all that stuff, and instead of being a part of it in as much as like, oh my goodness, what is going on? What's going to happen? How is it going to be okay? Am I going to be all right? Blah, 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 blah. Second soil, cares of life, growing up, making me unfruitful. Instead now, actually as a citizen of heaven, I get to not be a part of that, but look on in compassion and begin to minister in. Because that's not my position. My position is with all of the resources of heaven available, and now I get to minister to compassion to those who are caught up and know no different. And lots of people are pretty scared right now. This is a moment not for the people of God to be just as scared. This is a moment for the people of God to be at peace. Go, do you know what? Yeah, I don't really know how I'm going to pay my bills either, but Jesus does. And I'm going to pray. And watch what happens. This is a moment, I'm reading a book at the moment by Mark Sayers, it's called A Non-Anxious Presence. Such a good phrase. This is a moment for that, the people of God to be a non-anxious presence. And we'll stick out, not like a sore thumb, but a good thumb. So we get to look on in compassion and bring heaven's resources in. So if any of us are at this point, this is a moment for us to move from, are we going to be okay? And how am I going to pay my bills? And how is my family going to be all right? Two, how do we make sure that we don't miss this moment and what God is doing in the world? And we make sure that we play our part. It's a moment for faith, isn't it? How do we make sure that we are therefore ever increasingly good soil, bearing fruit, not choked by the cares of life, and find out at the end of standing before Jesus that we were actually the second soil all along? I don't want that for me. I don't want that for anyone in this room. I don't want that for anyone who's usually in this room. I don't want that for anyone in the city site. Okay? I want us to find, I'm the good soil. How do I know? Because I'm bearing fruit right now. I'm bearing fruit. I'm seeing the gospel at work in my life and my friend's life and my neighbor's life. This is the time. This is such an opportunity. Because what's going on in the world right now is God. He said it. He's doing it. It's not chaos. He put an end to chaos in creation. Read Genesis 1 and 2. Jesus is in charge. He's the king on the throne. It's not out of control. He's in control. Everything that's going on right now, always, is for his great name. And we get to play a part in that. So, for such a time as this, God has placed us. Look around for a moment. I know it's awkward. Us here for such a time as this. Now, I found this quite humbling, but he has put everything that is required that he might glorify his name and call people to him while he shakes the nations in each of us right now. He's done it already. So if we are positioned in faith He's going to work because he's said it. I mean, he said it in here. And then he said it a few years ago through Mike and other prophetic things as well. Okay? So how do we position ourselves to meet needs? So we, as this site, we are called prophetically to reach this community that we live in and around, and particularly the community that meet here every other day of the week, nearly, in this school. Okay, this is how we're here. I'll just remind you, a year ago, literally a year ago, I was in panic mode, okay, because we didn't have anywhere to meet. All the doors that we'd knocked on were closing or saying, we'll charge you a ridiculously unaffordable amount of money. And I was like, God, please, you've told us we're supposed to be a site. You've got to provide. The Gordon's Garden is going to be very cold in November. Okay, and then someone, a guy from a church in the Peak District, was on a Zoom call with a number of church leaders, not me. James Noble was on there, and he prophesied, and he said to James, didn't know our context, didn't know we were about to go into sites. He said, the place where you're going to meet is really strategic for the community that you're to reach into. And then within weeks, this place opened up with such amazing favor and continues to be so. God has placed us here prophetically to reach into this community. Okay, and so I believe that's why we're kind of putting quite a focus on the school, the sensory garden, the TLG thing, because I think this is where we're going to find fruit, because that's what God seems to have said. Doesn't mean nowhere else, but that's why we're kind of like focused. Okay, there are definitely people, families who come to this school who next month and the month after are going to choose between heating and eating. Definitely. Okay. So how do we meet needs? Earlier this year, after we'd been here a couple of months, some of the team, Tim and Rosie and Kath, met with the head of the school and the Senko lady and the business manager, and they said, we don't just want to be good tenants on a Sunday. We want to be good for the school. The fact that we meet with, like, use your building, we don't, like, that's not the end of it. We want to be a blessing here. How can we help? That's how the Sensory Garden came about, TLG as well, although Rosie was already looking at that before COVID. Okay? And they were like, yeah, great, let's work together. So how do we meet needs? Well, you might have heard this phrase, saying or something worse to the effect, but apparently it was Theodore Roosevelt who once said that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that's really true in terms of the gospel in our culture. Okay, people don't know how much you care, how much you know, until they know how much you care. And this, I think, is a moment for that. It's a moment to show that we care, that we're not just here for our own good, we're not just here to meet on a Sunday morning, we are here to be Jesus' representatives and bring the blessing of heaven into a community. Okay? And this is a moment for that. So, one of the ideas that we're sort of playing with and thought of over the summer, yeah, and we haven't spoken to the school about this yet, but we're going to talk to the head and others in the coming week or so, is whether there's a way, like, just to meet needs, right? Real practical needs, show that we care. Whether there's a way to do something of an evening here in the school through the winter months, like something that we could call it something like Warm Wednesday, although we don't know if it'd be Wednesday, it could be Thermal Thursday or Fireside Friday. Couldn't think of any other days of the week, so they're off. But where we, yeah, Toasty Tuesday, nice. Could be Tuesday now. Where we basically ask, like, could we keep the hall open, somehow provide a hot meal and stick a Disney film on or something, just so that for one evening a week, people who are choosing between heating and eating have got somewhere warm with a hot meal and a little bit of entertainment just for a couple of hours once a week through the winter months. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know yet, but that's just an idea that we've had to kind of go, look, we want to care. Okay, we want to be a blessing. We want to be here and bring heaven's resources in faith that God's called us here for such a time as this to be a blessing. So the school might turn around and go, no, or maybe, but maybe, you know, something else. I don't know yet, but just we're going to begin a conversation along those lines. And that's, you know, that doesn't just have to be people in this site making it happen. If it's a Jubilee Church thing, there's other people in Jubilee Church too who come and help. So I don't know the detail. I don't know any of that yet, but like, I want us to capitalize on the opportunity that we have, yeah? And take a stand, and this is a moment for faith. When we're back here in 3 weeks' time, we're gonna start part two of the Daniel series. We started preaching through Daniel before the summer, and we're going to start the second half of the book. Anyone who's read their Bible recently or read Daniel recently, you know, the first half is all the stories. Yeah, the first half is all the stories that you remember from when you were a kid if you grew up in church. Okay, and then the second half is all the really funky, weird, prophetic stuff. And it is funky and weird. All right, and so we're going to preach through that. And I didn't remember all of it in detail. I just remembered it was funky, weird, prophetic stuff. So I reread it, before the summer, before we had a preacher's meeting to get ready for it and that kind of thing. And actually, it's brilliant for this moment. Okay, my very brief summary of the second half of Daniel would be: the world is in turmoil, God is in charge, and the people of God have a part to play and stand up and pray. That would be my summary of the second part of Daniel. And that, isn't that right? I mean, like, we always pray and ask God what we should preach on, and hopefully there's some wisdom in that. But, like, take no credit for this. Like, this is the right thing for the right time. The world is in turmoil. God is in charge. The people of God have a part to play. We need to stand up and we need to pray. It's time to get serious, isn't it? It's time to just take God at his word in faith and say, God, here we are. Please use us to extend your kingdom. Isn't that all that really matters? It's all that really matters. I just don't want us to miss the opportunity. This is God at work, and we get to play our part. So that's the second thing that I wanted to speak on. We got to pray. How much are you praying at the moment? What's your prayer life like? Again, this is not a moment for condemnation. Okay, it's not a moment for feeling bad. It's just a moment for honest reflection. What's your prayer life like? Okay? And if it's really good, brilliant. If it's not where you quite like it to be, then this morning is a moment. Just go, God, thank you I'm a son. Thank you I'm a daughter. Thank you that I can never be separated from your love for me. Thank you I don't earn your favor by having a good prayer life. But I really want to know you. I really want to walk with you. I really want to not miss this moment. I really want to stand in faith now. I really want to be a non-anxious presence in my workplace. Please help me. Please rekindle my prayer life, because I really struggle. And see what he does. I can guarantee you he's not sitting up there like Jake's sitting right now with his arms crossed. No, nothing on you. But he's not sitting there looking bored, you know, thinking, when is this guy going to shut up? Yeah. Oh, that's fun. He's like, he's your father. He loves you way more than you give him credit for, way more than you dare to believe. And me too. Way more. He's like, yes, of course. Let's go. Flipping love you. Do you know what? Look at this. It's a big cross shape. It stands forever as a testament to how much I love you and can never be removed. It's not based on you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. There's nothing that can change that ever. It doesn't matter how you feel. Natalia's right. Taste and see. We want to feel. But actually, there's lots of time where we don't feel. It doesn't matter. Doesn't mean that Jesus becomes untrue. Praise God, one day our feelings will be totally in line with the truth. But right now they're not. Probably, at least for me, the majority of the time. It's faith. We walk by faith, not by feelings. Thank you, God, that you love me. Just wake up every day and just pray that. There's a start. Honestly, by the next Sunday, you'll feel a bit better. But it doesn't matter how you feel. It's about faith. So where's your prayer life? Okay? It's not a spiritual tick box exercise. It's just like to know him, to walk with him. I can't wait to see him. Can you? And I love the fact that, like, when I see him, I can't imagine how I'm going to feel. Pretty sure I'm just going to fall down and cry. But it will both be like meeting him for the first time and
greeting the closest friend ever, isn't it? In the same moment. Oh, and that's just by knowing him, just walking with him. Yeah? Sorry, Becky. Got Becky going as well. So, it's the time to pray. We're going to pray now, okay? Because it's vision and prayer. What I want us to pray for is going to come up in a sec. Thanks, Joe. Is for what I've been praying about, what I've been speaking about this morning. So in just a moment, we're not going to do communion this morning. We're just going to get together in groups of 4 or 5, not 2 or 7, 4 or 5, and pray. Okay, and we're going to pray for these things I've been talking about. Where are you at? Okay, if you're not feeling very hungry for God right now, ask him to make you feel hungry for him. Ask him for faith. Ask him to renew your mind, to be able to believe truth, not just to rely on your feelings. If that's where you are, just ask him. He will answer those prayers. Ask him for closeness in your and our collective walks with God. Ask him for the presence of God amongst us. And as we gather to worship, actually, we all have something to bring, and we experience the charismatic, powerful, life-changing presence of God amongst us. Pray for that. Let's pray that we are in a position to reach out, that God gives us faith to reach out, that we don't miss this opportunity, but we're standing going, ooh, don't really know what's going to happen, but he's in charge. Let's go. Okay. And continue to pray for our relationship with Gosford Park. I'm so excited. You know, honestly, I've spoken to lots of people outside Jubilee Church people who used to be part of Jubilee and others, and just, oh, how's it going? Started sites. Lord, let me tell you about the relationship we have with this school. And they're like, that is crazy. That's amazing. Other people who work in schools, you know, in other places, it's like, I cannot believe that. It's amazing. Let's pray. This is a favor of God thing. Okay. So I want us to pray for those things. And then also, it's September. So in the next week or coming weeks, lots of people here are going to be going back to work in teaching. Natalia's going to be starting teaching. Julie's going to be back. Sam's going to be back. Who else have we got? Loads of people. Jake and Lottie, both. Esther, Dan and Esther are both involved in university now. Simon is. Thomas is. Loads of us. Joe as well. Loads of us are going to be going back to work, into teaching, into education. All of our kids are going to be restarting. We're going to have millions of students arriving. By the way, I really, really want some students to be part of this site. Loads of COV students live around here. I lived around here when I was a COV student. Let's pray for that. Pray that we'd have some students come along, be part of us. Pray for students to come and find a church and be settled and all of that sort of stuff. And young adults moving and starting new careers and that kind of thing. So like, it's September, so let's pray for these things that are happening. Like, September, as a parent, it's a flipping crazy month, September. It's like, so pray for the parents as well. It's hard. Get readjusting in September. Okay, so let's pray together. If you've got someone in your group of 4 or 5 who's a teacher or involved in education, lay hands on them now, commission them. All right, it's not like, oh no, you know, Sunday morning, it's Monday morning tomorrow. Yeah, like, obviously there is an element of that. But we want to be commissioned, don't we, to be a non-anxious presence in the workplace, to bring faith into the workplace, right? To bring the presence of God into the workplace. So let's pray for one another for those things too.